Father, we want to ask that you take our time this morning, and Lord, that you would speak to us. I know we ask that a lot, in fact, every week, but Lord, that's our desire, is that when we come together, and especially, Lord, when we read and study your word, that you would speak to us, our innermost being. And of course, Lord, we trust that you speak to us through the songs, through just the fellowship that we have with one another in every part of our gathering. So, Lord, we commit the rest of our time into your hands. Amen. Okay, so last week, we talked about God's abundant mercy and grace. And mercy and grace, they are similar, but there is a difference. Mercy is God deciding not to give judgment or consequences, even though we deserve it. And grace is deciding to give blessing and favor on us, even though we don't deserve it. And God is abundant in both. In fact, God's mercy and grace really define who he is. And until we get a good understanding of his grace and his mercy, and we'll add his compassion and his love, we will never have any true sustained growth in our walk with the Lord. And this is a message that the church needs to hear today and the world as well. And last week I gave lots of examples, Old Testament, New Testament. And if you didn't hear this message, or perhaps you want to hear it again, you can do so by the podcast, or one of the things, I think probably by later this afternoon or certainly tomorrow, we're going to have a more of a video presentation of it. And the reason for this is, as I've traveled, especially this last trip, I had a lot of people say, you know, do you have any YouTube videos of your teachings? And I said, well, I have podcasts, and it seems like a lot of people want videos, you know, like YouTube. And so what I've decided is that there'll be certain messages, especially ones that I feel like that are appropriate for the whole body of Christ, like last week, that I'm actually just kind of videotaping them, you know, recording them, you know, sometime that week afterwards. So that's available. You can probably reach it on the Facebook, you know, page and everything. So, but anyway, this week, I want to take things a little bit further, a step further. If God is truly a God of mercy and grace and compassion, if that's his heart, who he is, then we too must learn to be merciful. In fact, Jesus calls us his body. We are an extension of him here on earth. He's in heaven now, but he lives in our hearts, and he displays himself or manifests himself to the world through us. And so his mercy and his grace, we need to be channels of that. And actually, depending on whether or not we learn this or not, really determines in a large degree how effective we'll be in the ministry and the work that God has given each of us. Because we have to minister and relate to the people of this world in Jesus' heart of ministry. So, scriptures teach us very clearly that we are to be rich in mercy. Now, some people may say, yeah, but I read Romans 12, and it says mercy's a gift. And I've heard people kind of say, well, and they'll kind of usually laugh about it, mercy's not my gift, you know. But you know what? Maybe it is true that there's a gift of mercy that's an extraordinary amount of mercy given to the whole church, but all of us are instructed to have mercy. Actually, that same passage in Romans 12, it talks about serving as a group, as a gift. But we're all supposed to serve too, right? So we can't use that as an excuse. Well, let's take a look at Matthew 5, verse 7. And this is right at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And this is one of those verses I can still remember when it just kind of seemed to jump out of the page at me. I was 19 years old. That was a few years ago, 5 or 10 anyway. And I was at Hartford Community College, and I was on a break, and I can still remember I was under this grove of trees, and I was sitting down at a picnic table, and I was actually memorizing the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And as I was memorizing this, it's almost like it just jumped off the page, like, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And I thought, Lord, I'm not very merciful at all. I'm really hard on people. And I just felt this real sense of conviction, like, Lord, I've got to learn to be merciful. That's what you're calling, especially if I want to be blessed and if I don't want to receive mercy. So this is a very special verse to me. And like I said, I can, 40-something years later, 45 years, no, it can't be that much. Yeah, 45 years later, I can still remember when God spoke to me from this verse. And I think about this verse a lot. James 2, we read this last week, but James 2 is another verse that can sort of stop us in our tracks. It says, for judgment will be merciless to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Do we get that? Judgment will be merciless to those of us who show no mercy. And then Luke 6. This is another very strong passage. Let's start in verse 35. Just a second, I'm almost there. It says, but love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Well, this is pretty hard, is it? And your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil man. Evil man. Have you ever thought about that? God is, He's kind to all sorts of people, even evil people. He lets them keep breathing. He gives us, food to eat. And that's God. And then verse 36, it says, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. And do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Pardon, and you will be pardoned. Give, and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And then look at this. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. In other words, if we judge others, we're going to be judged. If we condemn others, we're going to be condemned. If we give freely, it's going to be freely given to us. This is a principle in God's word. And it's something that we need to really realize. And if we're merciful, we're going to receive mercy from our Father. If we're critical, if we're harsh, if we hold grudges toward one another, if we're condescending toward other people, then that's what we're going to experience in return. Let's put it another way. If we don't extend mercy to other people, then there are some very tough, maybe even severe warnings for us. And when I think back on my Christian life, I have to say that this is one of the most important things I feel like I've learned in my life. And it didn't just happen when I was 19. It's been a series of events and God just sometimes shaking me. But that blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And often when I feel like I'm beginning to harden my heart towards someone or get kind of critical, I'm so thankful that the Lord reminds me, blessed are the merciful, for they're the ones that will receive mercy. And I want to receive mercy from God. Now, this is probably much closer to home than we might think. I mean, think about it. We all interact with people throughout the course of our life, don't we? We form friendships. sometimes deep ones. But we all also sometimes rub people or rub with people in a very frustrating way. People can annoy us. People can, in English we say, get on our nerves. Sometimes they can say insensitive things. Sometimes even intentionally. People can hurt us. They do hurt us, sometimes badly. We can be treated very ugly. Sometimes people just hate us. And by the way, Christians are not exempt from this. And everyone in this room can probably think of people that oh yeah, that person really annoys me, or that person, I don't know why, but it seems like they hate me. That's just the way life is. And there is no way to prevent people from treating us poorly. The scriptures never tell us that we can avoid people, especially all people who are going to hurt us, because then we just have to be just on an island by ourselves. And Christians are not exempt from this. Actually, as Christians, we might have more people who dislike us and hate us because of what we stand for. But the scriptures do tell us how we are to respond. And the scriptures tell us that it's going to be godly, Christ-like responses that really are radical. And that is what's going to speak loudly to the world around us. I mean, we're told to pray for our enemies. We're told to bless our enemies. We're told even to love our enemies. So certainly that's going to include those people that just kind of maybe rub us the wrong way. And our response begins with being merciful to all people, even to those that we don't like or we don't think deserve it, as if we deserve mercy. Too many of us are bothered, annoyed, molestados, offended, and bitterness, and condescending attitudes, and even unforgiveness, they're really running wild even within the body of Christ. And this grieves the Holy Spirit. There's really no other way to say that. And it keeps God's blessing from falling upon us when we're not merciful to everybody. The opposite of showing mercy is what? Judging others, desiring that they fail, sometimes even praying for judgment. I mean, in a spiritual way, of course. Lord, I know that, you know, this person, they just seem like they're always kind of treating people. And Lord, if you just kind of get them right now, you know, it wouldn't bother me at all. You know, we can subtly think things like that, can't we? But these are the attitudes that make us prisoners of bitterness and hatred. And now we probably wouldn't use those words, but that's really what it is, or at least it's going to go that way. On the other hand, extending mercy frees us on the inside. Like everyone in this room, I've had people mistreat me. Especially the older you get, you got more time for that to happen. I've had people slander me, talk about me behind my back, plotted against me behind my back, worked toward destroying my finances or my financial situation, gossiped. They've said untrue things about my family. And every time I have a choice, will I let these things get deep inside of me where I go over and over them in my mind? And I start thinking about the injustice of it all. Will I let these things hijack my life and take me down a path of battling suspicion and bitterness? Or will I choose to be merciful, noting that I don't deserve God's mercy and grace any more than they do? And somehow I've discovered that this is really the best way. Actually, it's the only way. It's the only course that I can take. And it's true. As I look back now on some of the things that have happened to me, I can say I'm free inside. So much so that when or if I see some of these people, I remember the good things. And my mind doesn't immediately go, yeah, I remember when you did this or you said that. I know who you are. I don't go that way. I choose not to go that way. And there's grace for that. There's grace for that. I don't allow my mind to drift into dangerous territory. Let's take a look at Romans 12. Romans 12. This is really one of the most important passages in the scriptures. And it's probably one of the ones most avoided, or at least one of the least practiced passages in the scriptures. Let's look at starting in verse 14, Romans 12. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. It doesn't just say, just ignore it. Don't, you know, just, it actually says bless. We're to bless those who persecute us. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. And I think it's really talking in context, even with those who hate us, who persecute us. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Well, I'm better than that. I'm better than them. Wait a minute. If we're going to start comparing ourselves to everybody else, God says, I'll get into the picture too. Start comparing yourself with me. And you know what? None of us can do it. We're so unholy compared to him. So it says, do not be wise in your own estimation. Never, I actually have that circled in my Bible, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. And you know, that's the way the world does. Someone gets me, I get back. I get even. That whole even, I get even, that means whatever you've done to me, I've got to do at least that much back to you. And of course, that's the way the world runs, isn't it? You know, but it says never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Verse 18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. And then there's another. This is the passage of two nevers. The second never is never take your own revenge, beloved. But leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I'll repay, says the Lord. And that's true. The Lord says, I'll take care of any injustice. You don't worry about it. But if your enemy is hungry, you feed him. You bless him. And if he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Because you know what? We'll never overcome evil by just striking back. It does not happen. I mean, just look at the wars that are going on around the world. The only way you overcome evil for Christians is with good. This is true Christianity, and it's freeing Christianity. And it is, as you know, very different from the way the world acts. I mean, in today's world of 24/7 media and social media, and notice the insults that people just throw around all the time, that fly around on Twitter. And I'm not just talking about one person, I'm talking about many people on all sides. I mean, it's horrible the things that people say. We're called to be different. Just because others do it doesn't mean we do it. We are called to something else. Let's take a look at Matthew 18. This is another one of those passages that I have to say has affected me almost as much as any other passage. Let's kind of read it. Let's start in verse 21, Matthew 18, verse 21. Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? We could also translate it this way. This person's getting on my nerves. How much longer do I have to put up with him? Or how much longer do I have to put up with her? you know. And Jesus says, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Basically, he was saying, don't count, don't worry about it. And then he tells a parable. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Now, a talent is a lot of money back then. It was basically, it took you about an average person about 15 years of work to earn one talent. That means, especially given the life expectancy, if you had a long life, you might earn two or three talents in your entire life. And this slave owes his master, what does it say? 10,000. You might say, that's ridiculous. I mean, no one could even, back then, a laborer like this could never even, especially a slave, could never owe anyone, you know, 10,000 talents. Well, that's just the idea. It's a ridiculous amount, you know. So anyway, so he comes out, but it's part of the story. So anyway, 10,000 talents this person brought to him. Verse 25, and since he did not have the means to repay, of course, his Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children, all that he had, and repayment to be made. So the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay you everything. Which is not true. He could never repay anything. He probably couldn't even repay one talent, much less the other 9,999 talents. And verse 27, and the Lord of that slave felt, what does it say? Compassion, and released him and forgave him the debt. That means he just said, okay, never mind. It's all gone. It's completely erased. 10,000 talents. But the story goes on. Verse 28, but that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And he seized him, began to choke him, saying, pay back what you owe. Now, 100 denarii was probably about 3 or 4 months worth of wages. And, you know, that's, you know, just kind of calculate it in your head, you know, how much that would be. You know, you're thinking, okay, thousands of dollars in today's world, that's a lot of money. Not like 10,000 talents. But 100 denarii, that's nothing to just sneeze about. And he says, pay back what you owe. And his fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, have patience with me and I'll repay you. And that was possible. He possibly could have. But he was unwilling and went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what was owed. Now don't ask me how he's going to pay it back if he's in prison, but it's a story, okay? Okay. So when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their Lord all that had happened. Then summoning him, his Lord said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you? And his Lord, moved to anger, handed him over to the torturers. Yeah, that's torturers. And that he should repay all that was owed him. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. Wow. What a story. I mean, every time I read that, I think, Lord, how could I ever hold anything against anyone else if I owe you 10,000 talents? You forgave me. How can I go to my brother and hold 100 denarii, which is a lot in human terms, against anyone else? It's just ridiculous. Actually, verse 33 is the key verse here. When the Lord says, should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you? This is really, yes, it's a story about forgiveness, but forgiveness starts with having mercy on someone. It's clear that showing mercy is the first step to preventing unforgiveness to kind of settle into our hearts. And it's clear that not showing mercy is the first step of inviting unforgiveness into your heart, into your life. And by the way, when unforgiveness, a whole bunch of cousins that kind of come in with unforgiveness if you open your heart. There's bitterness and resentment and anger and, you know, hatred and suspicion. They all start coming in. And they eventually poison us. Whenever I read this passage, I think, how could I ever hold a grudge or anything against another? It just seems so silly, so foolish, and really so dangerous. May we hear, may we see the message, the impact of this passage. Are there biblical examples? Yes. Probably don't have time to go into many of them now, but there's David in the Old Testament. He was often falsely accused. You know, Saul, the king, was looking for him to kill him. And on two different times, you know, the king actually just kind of went into a cave that David was hiding in, hiding from him, and was sleeping. And a lot of David's friends said, "Look, there's the king. Lord, let me just with one jab of the spear kill him now because he's out to kill you." And would David let him? No, no, you can't do that. That's David extending mercy. Or in the New Testament, Jesus is probably one of the best examples. Here he had been tortured, put on a cross, and what's the last thing that Jesus said? "Forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." Now, I'd be saying, yeah, they knew what they were doing. But he saw a little bit different, didn't he? He saw, no, not really. They didn't really understand the depth of what they're doing. You know, basically, he was saying, "Father, don't hold it against them. Don't withdraw mercy from them." As he's dying, he says that. That was Jesus, our Lord, our example. A few years later, there's a man named Stephen. You can read about this in Acts 7. And he's preaching the gospel, and the religious leaders, they just go crazy. In fact, they say that it kind of says they put their hands over their ears. They didn't want to hear what he was saying, but he kept preaching to them. And he said, "You know, you're the ones that crucified the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah." And by the way, Paul, when he was Saul, was there. And so he actually authorized that Stephen be killed by stones. What's the last words that Stephen said? He said, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Do not hold this sin against them." I'd probably be kind of thinking, "Yeah, Lord, you could probably hold this one against them." But he didn't. And you know, one of the people he prayed for was Saul, who later became Paul. You know, that's the radical having mercy that we're called to have. Now, some people, when you start talking about this, they start giving you an extreme situation, which there are some. You know, it could be a wife who's being abused or someone who's been cheated in a business deal. They say, "How can I forgive that person? Well, how can I extend mercy?" Well, you can extend mercy, you can forgive. It doesn't mean that you will trust them with your life or work with them. It doesn't mean you're excusing their behavior. It just means that on the inside, you're actually asking, "God, have mercy on this person. Do not hold this against them. You know, they don't know what they're doing. Forgive them." Yeah, but don't they deserve something? Don't they deserve, they deserve some type of judgment, don't they? They don't deserve mercy. That's probably the biggest excuse we have. But you know what? When we have that attitude, it shows we don't understand the mercy of God. Because every one of us, we've received abundantly from God's mercy and grace. So why can't we extend that to others? You know, whenever you find yourself thinking, "Lord, they don't deserve that," or "They don't deserve mercy, they deserve this," just think about Matthew 18 and the 10,000 talents that you've been forgiven. And you know what? I can assure you, if you think about that, all of a sudden that anger, that resentment, it just starts to melt. You think, Lord, you've been so merciful to me. You've filled my life with so much grace. How could I ever speak against someone else and not extend mercy? Matthew 5, 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. I don't know about you, but I want to be blessed. I want God's blessing. I want His grace. And I certainly don't like the implication of what happens if I withhold mercy. Remember James 2, 13? We read it earlier. For judgment will be merciless to one who has shown no mercy. May God give us the grace to be merciful to all. When we are part of the kingdom of God, we enter into the kingdom of God culture. It's a separate culture, and this is part of that culture. It's different from the rest of the world. And this is one of those examples where we're to live totally different from the way the world lives. And by the way, possibly different from maybe our own individual culture. We have people from all sorts of cultures here. You know, Europe, Latin America, United States, you know. And even within a country, you have subcultures. And sometimes, well, that's just the culture I am. Well, wait a minute. When we enter into the kingdom of God, we say, I'm embracing the kingdom of God and its culture. And its culture is different. God is calling us to show mercy to the people of the world. And if they don't see or they don't hear that message, they're not going to pay attention to any other message we give to them. But if we're extending mercy, that's going to soften their hearts to hear from us. I want us to pray now. And I want us to just to take a minute or so before I pray. And I want to ask you, are there people in your life, past or present, that you have not shown mercy to? Or maybe you're not showing mercy to right now. Don't get hung up. They don't deserve it because you don't deserve it either. Maybe they owe you 10 denarii or 50 or even 100. And you haven't been willing to forgive them. If there's someone that's coming to your mind now, or maybe 3 or 4 people, or maybe 10 people, I don't know, ask God to forgive you. Remember the 10 talents that you were forgiven. Ask God to cleanse your heart, to adjust your thinking, and to give you the grace to extend mercy. You might say, well, I don't have grace to do that. Well, of course you don't have grace if you're not extending mercy. Jesus said that. He withholds grace and mercy if we're merciless. But if you start to show mercy, He'll give you the grace to do it. Let's just pray. Let's just take a couple minutes and let's just talk to the Lord, each of us individually. My guess is probably almost everyone here can probably think of people. Tell the Lord that you want to be a person who's merciful to everyone, even to your enemies, even to those who've hurt you bad, who've said bad things about you. If you're not willing to do this, you're going to be a prisoner, and you'll never truly be free on the inside. This is the kingdom of God. We extend mercy. And tell the Lord that not only do you want to extend mercy, but you want to start blessing this person. Father, my guess is in this room there's probably dozens and dozens, maybe over 100 people, maybe even several hundred people that are representative, people that we've not shown mercy like you would like for us to. People have run across our paths. Some of them have been very close to us. Some maybe just they passed our life maybe 10 years ago. Lord, I don't know. But you do, and you're speaking those names to people right now. Lord, I ask that you would give us the grace to release, to forgive the debt, and truly be free on the inside. Lord, you've called us to be merciful. And Lord, if we can't be merciful to the ones who've hurt us, we'll never be merciful to a dark world that in the future is going to turn they're going to turn on us. They're going to hate us even more. Lord, show us how we can bless and pray for and love these people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.